Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Several families of those killed in the Oma bombing have called for the truth to be made public in memory of their loved ones. They were speaking at the public inquiry into the atrocity, which was set up by the British government to examine whether the bombing could have been prevented. Our reporter Una Kelly has been at the inquiry in Oma and she joins us now. And Una, this is the end of the second week of commemorative hearings for those who were murdered.
Yes, it's the pen portraits phase of the inquiry where relatives have the chance to speak about their loved ones and the impact of the loss. 29 people, including a woman pregnant with twins, were murdered that day. And today we heard from three more families. One of them was the family of Elizabeth Rush, or Libby as she was known. Her daughter Siobhan read a statement on behalf of herself and her brothers Andrew and Anthony. We heard that Libby lived in Oma most of her life. She met her husband Lawrence when they were just 14 at a ballroom and they married when they were 19. They were each other's first and only loves, we were told. Libby had a business on Market Street in Oma Town Centre for 27 years, first a coffee shop and then a gift shop. We were told that she had an interest in crafts and needlework that she sold in the gift shop. We heard that she was known throughout the Oma community as a good listener, with people coming to her for advice. She loved her family with every bone in her body, was described as private and humble. And her children said she's the moral compass we set our own lives by. They said that this was a simple, quiet, and normal family life of a woman that was destroyed. Now, on the day of the bomb, Libby was working in her shop. Siobhan described how she arrived into Oma on a bus from Belfast around 20 past three in the afternoon that day to a scene of complete carnage that would have been just shortly after the bomb went off. Siobhan said it was apparent evil was in the air. She said she ran around looking for her mother, and a policeman who knew her directed her towards the hospital. Siobhan said there was confusion and fear filled the air like the apocalypse. Siobhan said that the trauma of losing their mother has been continuous over the years, with an adverse effect on their family. She also said that many people in society and their community feel they should move on and forget the past. Siobhan said they'll never understand until they consider things from the point of view of a victim or a survivor. Now, Libby's husband Lawrence was among the first to raise questions that the inquiry is now seeking to determine, questions about the police response that day and the role of the state. He died in 2012, but over his life he campaigned for truth and justice. Siobhan said his confrontational approach was often met with disapproval and ridicule. She said the politicians, security forces and the community often avoided conversations. She said that today, after years of silence, apathy and belligerent ignorance, it's fair to say we believe there has been a deliberate strategy to evade responsibility by the state.
We believe the Oma bomb was a crime against humanity. We believe there were policies in place to ignore or de-escalate any tensions that could prompt changes in the current narrative. We believe our father's quest for the truth exposed the atrocity as a premeditated war tactic.
And that was Siobhan there speaking in the commemoration hearing of her mother, Libby Rush. She also said, "We implore all those involved in this public inquiry to cooperate and assist the inquiry fully."
And Una, the inquiry also heard from the family of Sean McGrath, who called for the truth to be made public in this inquiry process.
Yes, Sean McGrath was also killed in the bomb that day. Statements on behalf of three of his children, Nolene, Connor and Gavin, were read into the record. In Connor's statement, he said, "In memory of Sean and other innocent victims, we ask for the truth to be made public after all the empty promises, subsequent delays and long fight for justice. We are tired of the constant deflection. Oma deserves answers." We also heard about Sean McGrath as a person. He was described as a highly successful and charismatic businessman, slow to anger, considerate and could also play the fool for laughs, we heard. He had married his sweetheart Nuala and had four children. His positive and sociable outlook, we were told, made him a natural salesman. He'd set up his own business in Oma and employed around 30 people. He was always on the lookout for a deal. We heard that at one stage he even had struck a deal to supply Irish bread to Harrods in London. We were told that he cared about his staff and the local community. Any surplus goods from his bakery businesses were given to Vincent de Paul. We heard that his first granddaughter, Sarah, was born in 1996, and that when she was born, it gave him a new lease of life, and that he did all he could to spend time with her. On the day of the bomb, Sean was originally taken to Oma County Hospital, and we were told of how his wife Nuala found him there amongst the carnage. Sean was eventually transferred by helicopter to hospital in Belfast, and initially the doctors told his family that he was stable with chest and leg injuries and shrapnel. But his family said this was just the start of a traumatic 3 weeks in which hope was constantly shattered. Sean's second granddaughter Polly was actually born this time, born in England 3 days after the bomb, but he never got to meet her or the further two grandchildren of his, Hattie and Emma. And baby Polly's first trip home from England to Oma was for her grandfather's funeral in September. Sean McGrath died on the 5th of September 1998 in hospital due to his injuries. His son Connor said all the family suffered with PTSD for a long time afterwards, and he said that his mother had fought for years with the government over basic compensation. He said it hurts to talk about the murder of his father, and he said that every anniversary is like picking at a scar, which is now not as raw but still not healed. And in Sean's son Gavin's statement, he talked about how the family experienced the loss of Sean. It was read in a pre-recorded message by Gavin's wife Emma.
The impact of the loss of my father on my mother, siblings and on our own families has been profound and, in truth, too emotional to examine. I feel that unless they've absolutely had to, our family have metaphorically looked the other way in respect of how my father has died, as talking about that horrendous day and the aftermath is simply too enormous to discuss. If we don't open the wounds, we can't feel the pain. It's not what is recommended by experts, but it's literally the only way we can all deal with it. My father was a wonderful man and deserved to live his life to the full and for it to end naturally, just as all humans should have the right to expect. I love my dad and I miss him every day.
And that is Emma, daughter-in-law of Sean McGrath there. The inquiry also heard today, Una, about yet another teenager who was killed that day.
Yes, it was 17-year-old Samantha McFarlane from Oma. There was a statement read into the record by a solicitor. We learned that she was the youngest of three children. She was studying for her A-levels and taking driving lessons at the time of the bomb. She was due to be bridesmaid at her brother's wedding in September 1998. We were told that she had a lovely personality and a genuine kindness that people were drawn towards. On the 15th of August, the day of the bomb, she had been working as a voluntary shop assistant in the Oxfam shop in the town with her best friend, Lorraine Wilson. They had been evacuated due to the so-called bomb warning. At her funeral, she was described as popular and diligent, a person who had passed with flying colours the test of life, despite being denied the opportunity to pass milestones like A-levels and driving test. And the chair of the inquiry, Alan Turnbull, then said, "One has to wonder whether there could be any greater contrast between the generous and socially minded attitude of a teenager who chose to spend precious spare time of younger years trying to help people, and the morality of those who walk away from a car loaded with explosives in the middle of the main street on a sunny Saturday afternoon in sure knowledge of the devastation that would ensue."
Una Kelly, thank you very much.